The GA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power, home of the GA Hour Football Acca.
I'm not finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
All right, so Ger Brennan's with us this week. So we're going to start off with the Dublin semi-finals. Ger, I'm sure you're doing a little bit of work maybe with RTÉ this week on them, are you?
Not this week. I'm not sure who's in this weekend. I probably got the nod with St Vincent's being involved the last day.
Oh, okay.
But I'll be up watching them anyway.
Right, so they're on anyways. Kilmacud and Thomas Davis' surprise on St Jude's and Ballyboden. That's the big one of the weekend. But the interesting thing here is that St Jude's beat Vincent's, obviously, in the quarterfinal and beat them really convincingly. And that's on the back of a really convincing win against them the year before. And I'm looking at this from the outside and I'm thinking, what the hell has happened to St Vincent's?
Great question, buddy. There's a lot of club men and ladies involved in St Vincent's. We have a couple of answers and suggestions. I suppose looking at the team over the last 10 years, the age profile has certainly increased amongst the starting 15. But that said, we should be performing better. I think the 7-8 point defeat more recently against St Jude's nearly flattered us. I think St Jude's, if they put us to the sword, they would have increased that margin. Could have been 15 points, to be honest, but I thought we lacked a lot of direction, a lot of spirit, and a disappointing display overall.
That's the thing. There was a few names: Hugh Gill, Brendan Egan, yourself. Obviously, you've stepped away this year. If you're retired fully, Shane Carty wasn't there. Where are these fellas?
Hugh is gone altogether with injury. His cartilage is knackered. He was told not to play anymore,
right?
Or he'd be getting a knee replacement soon enough. Brendan's still involved. He was on the bench. Shane Carty hurt his foot, broke a bone recently, so he was out of the cast, and I'm obviously gone. But
and then they had Gavin Burke back as centre half back, so he's gone out of the forwards then as well. It was a different looking team than you'd be used to seeing.
Yeah, the management tried a couple of positional changes with different players. Dermot was also playing a couple of games centre back as well. He played the first two rounds of the championship centre back. Probably wasted his talent given the skills that he has.
Yeah, I would think so. Defenses,
So he was eventually moved further up the field. But look at, again, it was a lacklustre performance, lacked a lot of direction, and probably management and players have to sit down and have a look at themselves and say, am I doing what's required to compete at this level? Because, as you know, if you're playing in Dublin yourself, Willie, it's a fairly competitive championship.
And it's very competitive.
There's five, six teams that come in the whole time, and if you don't have your structures in place, styles of play in place during the league campaign coming to the latter stage of the championship, well then you're going to be knocked off the perch. And we saw with St Jude's, they're such a consistent team. Everyone understands what they're about defensively. They don't diverge from that, I suppose, not so much a packed defence, but they would have nearly six guys there the whole time. They don't deviate from that.
They're full of Culshies as well, aren't they? They're full of Culshies, the Culshies team.
They probably have five or six starting in their 15. I don't have an issue with that. If a fella is up working in Dublin and doesn't want to travel down the road anymore and they're in their mid, late 20s, obviously their perspective on life changes and they say, right, I'll join a club that's close to me. Or they might have a friend or pal in a local club and that's where they go. I know when we won the club championship in 2008, before five fellas from the country started.
Yeah, I've given out about this for a lot of years, Ger. Don't bring that up. He hammered us in the Leinster semi-final. It was
two good Mayo lads in there as well.
Pat
Kelly, Brian Maloney.
Kelly marked me that day, and Brian Maloney's got two early goals and the game was practically over. That then Zach Toohey got sent off. Oh, listen, I've given out about those transfers. Come here, we'll move on from Vincent's, because Mayo chairman Mike Connolly has been talking this week, and he's been very honest for a county board chairman, because a lot of my perception of county boards is that we don't want any help. We know it all. We're in charge. Go play your football, you whippersnapper. And to be honest, the game has moved on so much now to a professional, that they're professional entities now and companies, and they have amateur administrators, you know, administrating that. But he's outlining the issues that they face. And he said, if you look at football scene today versus 20 years ago when players weren't being paid, we didn't have cool camps, it was a much simpler organisation. And if you look at the structure of the county board today versus 20 years ago, it's no different. At the end of the day, we haven't moved the structures. I feel it's a big problem from Croke Park down. There's no communication or support from Croke Park to say, hold on a minute, you guys are turning over 4 million. You have one office administrator. There are businesses with a 3 or 4 million turnover that have 5, 6, 7, 8 people working in them. Like, when you think about that... And he's spelling that out. And I'm blue in the face from this. And then you look at the Dublin County Board structure and they have it right. They have professionals looking after that side of it. And the County Board structure, the traditional one, is still kind of there. So credit to him, Conor. I don't know what he's like, but it's not often to come out and say, we could do with some help here.
It's just good to hear some kind of honesty. It's a little bit refreshing given the other news coming out of Mayo this week.
True.
So we didn't send any delegate to Special Congress there last weekend. There's a bit of controversy around that. Now, the county finals were on Saturday night, so that they kind of clashed. And then there was an email circulating with regard to the whole ongoing saga with the Mayo GAA Association, where a high-profile member of the executive called Tim O'Leary a donkey.
Called him a donkey.
CC'd Tom Tim O'Leary in the actual email. So
now we've all done something.
I know. You know, let he with who's without sin cast the first stone.
The
there,
absolute
so.
Terror when that happens.
Yeah. And there's no calling it back.
You can't get it back.
There's no calling it back. But you're right. You've been banging this drum for a long time. I mean, the move towards a structure that we see in Dublin, where the CEO is separated the county board to a degree, and it's run like a business. And in fairness to Michael Nelly as well, like the running of the show in Mayo has been complicated, let's say, to say at least over the years. But he did say as well that one of the things that he'll probably be remembered for, I suppose, or one of the most positive things he's done is bringing a commercial manager in Tom Riley, who used to play for Mayo as well. So it is a step in the right direction, but it was a much needed step in the right direction, I suppose. But it's not just Mayo. We are seeing it with Galway. We're seeing it countless other counties that will eventually have to take a step in that direction. And it's kind of came upon everybody this quickly. The money that is involved in GAA has just skyrocketed in the last few years. So the sooner the more counties like Mayo are beginning to see the light, the better.
These administrators are now in charge of massive capital projects, mm-hmm. like Páirce Cóip, that ran into trouble. They have to be on top of Garda vetting, vetting for coaches, which is all increased. They have to be in charge of the administration of expenses, expertise in different areas. They don't have it, Ger. That's the reality.
They don't have it with the best intention of the world.
Yeah, these people are good administrative volunteers, but if you don't have... Like, Mossy's in with Dublin. He knows the commercial side, and county boards are now copying that model.
Yeah, well, again, Mossy, if you want to use him as an example, he's a professional. He worked a long time with Dalkey and in terms of sales and management and being an account manager as well and working with people and trying to get the best deals for the organisation. So if you can introduce professional people with the right expertise into a county board, I think the Mayo County Chairman is showing an awful lot of humility there.
Yeah.
To say that, look, we do need help. For me, say Croke Park, I think the best functioning unit within Croke Park is the commercial department, because it's run by professionals. They're getting their concerts in.
Yeah.
They're getting the turnover, and in fairness, the GAA do try to invest most of that money back into the grassroots, which is another conversation for another day. But given the amount of turnover that is there, there should be probably a department within Croke Park who are being outsourced, so to speak, and they're working specifically with these county boards who need a bit of expertise and guidance in how to set up a commercial department
and sponsorship, and how to sell that, and how to get them in on board. Every county board now is a brand. It should have a brand, a brand that attracts people, attracts companies, and without having that expertise you won't get it, so you won't get the money in. And actually Mike Connolly said that the best thing he did in his time is to get in a commercial manager. And he said he sees the benefits of that already.
Yeah.
That's
there about 2 years now, I think, within Mayo. And that, he is nearly funding himself. The more business he brings in,
well,
to speak for Mayo,
it's a no-brainer. I even think a CEO would pay for himself in 5 years, so you might get hit for the first 2 or 3 years. But then when they have this running smoothly, he's paying for himself, and it's been run so much better. But we'll see how that develops.
There's also accountability there as well. If it's a professional person in place with a contract, and if there is mismanagement or misappropriation of funds or what have you, well, then you're going to get sacked.
Yeah.
Whereas with the county board, so-and-so has been on the committee for the last number of years.
And it's the politics.
He's a great fella. It's the politics. Sure, the politics of it all,
You can make 10 mistakes, but you have enough clubs on your side and you're going nowhere.
Like,
that's the way it works. So a bit of news out of Clare, lads, is that Louis Mulqueen has withdrawn his candidacy. And that's on the top of Donal Maloney withdrawing his candidacy. So Brian Lohan looks like he's going to be the new hurling manager. I don't know how he'd want it under these circumstances. He's just the last man standing, pretty much. Mm. And it was him and Louis Mulqueen 2 weeks ago, and they opened it back up for more nominations. We don't know where that's at. I don't know. Why can't they just pick somebody? It doesn't make sense. When you talk about county boards making these decisions, it just doesn't make too much sense. So how Brian Lohan, maybe he just wants it so badly, he's happy enough to take it. I don't know if I'd still be standing if it dragged on that long.
I think Mulqueen is involved with a club in Galway as
Lee
well.
Lee Mellows,
So they're, I think, semi-final of the
Sunday, actually, yeah. Because a guy in the office, Alan Lagnan, is playing for Capitagle. So all the best to Al. He's taking the week off. So the watch out. Watch out, Lee Mellows. Yeah, Sunday, yeah. Yeah, so I'm firmly behind the red and black come Sunday.
Oh, I'm behind the red
Mulqueen.
And black because they've bottled the 2 years in the semi-final, haven't they?
Hey, I'm not saying that one.
All right, okay. Well, listen, I didn't realise that. Big news out of Tipperary is Michael Quinlivan is going travelling for 2020. I was very disappointed to read that as a general football fan and a big fan of Michael Quinlivan that we won't see him next year. And this is on the back of being shocked earlier in the week by reading Darry McVitie's not going to be around this year. And Ben McCormack's not going to be around in Kildare after playing so well last year against Dublin in Croke Park too. And then kind of with Kildare, we're hit with Daniel Flynn last year. He's back. Niall Kelly went last year. I don't know, lads. I've done it. I'd never blame a player to go. It can be just very disappointing when you see lads going. And I don't know. The question is, when is a good time to go when a lad wants to go?
I think fellas are heading off far easier now than when you were playing and when I was playing, Woolley. I think the county, senior county team, meant an awful lot more to guys, and that their whole life was somewhat put on hold. They were in college or whatever they were doing, doing it on the side. They were doing everything to organise their life to get the best out of themselves in the field. I don't think fellas have the same buy-in to it anymore. In my own time, but 4 years working UCD Gaelic Games, and I can see that. Actually, Andy McEntee said it a couple of years ago. He says he doesn't know whether it's the parents or schools or whatever, but fellas, they can be a bit softer, lack a bit of resilience, and sometimes when a real challenge is put up in front of them, they take the roads that is more travelled as opposed to one less travelled. Is that Robert Frost? I'm trying to think of
my name.
That sounded good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it did, especially.
But for Quinlivan to go off, again, it's always his own choice, and McCormack, McVitie, like Kildare, have a chance of doing something in Leinster and then pushing on the Super 8s. Has to Cavan then as well. Tipperary is probably a bit of a rebuilding job with David
Power. David Power,
the manager down there. But Quinlivan is a big loss.
He's a huge loss. I went in 2005 and I missed out on. Mossy got that free to beat, or the 45 to beat Leash by a point. Now, in my head, I'm worth at least two points, 3 points maybe for Leash. It's in the back of my mind, I could have done that. Now, in the first round of the Leinster Championship, Leash needed a last-minute goal by Ross Munley to beat Offaly. Now, who's saying if I was playing that day, I might have had that shot and missed it? You know, you don't know. You can tie yourself up in knots. But the point I'm making is that I was thinking, I want to go. At that time, I had a job. I didn't see my future being, and I was like, when I come back, if I get into a career, I won't be able to go. So I was thinking, now while my career isn't the job I want, I'm not going to get a better chance. And I knew there was a good chance Leash could go well. I was thinking, if I don't go this year, I'm 25. When am I going to get serious about life? And then I won't be able to go on. And I just, you know, it's a hard decision for these guys.
They all have to weigh up, I just wonder now, is it a thing that, like, I know that a few years ago, for example, maybe mid-2000s, Conor Mortimer and Alan Dillon went for like 4 or 5 months, maybe even 6 months, safe in the knowledge that they could go for the league and they could come back for the championship and they'd be pretty sure that they'd slot in for Mayo. Do you know what I mean? I don't think that option is available anymore. If you're saying you're going, you nearly have to commit to be gone from the inter-county setup for a year, because unless you're a superstar, you're not going to go away for 3 months, miss the league and then come back and play championship.
This is the thing. You could actually go, only the club is so important to you. You could go in August and come back the following March, get the last few league games, and like, that's a nice break, 7 months. But what happened to me was, when I went, was Port Leash ended up winning the county final, and I was around until the end of December, and then we in the All-Ireland Club semi-final, and I didn't end up getting going until after St. Patrick's Day the next year. So instead of maybe going August to March and not missing with Leash, you went.
Did you not go on the break between the Leinster?
Oh, I did, yeah. Let's not talk about that.
We thought that was the same year.
We've mentioned that on the show as well. I didn't. The you know all about the 11 or 12 week break between the Leinster club and the
All Ireland semis.
Yeah, I disappeared for 7 weeks of that. For 7 weeks of that. Not my best decision that I've ever made. I wish I could have that time back. Come here, I want to talk about the advanced mark, moving on from that topic. And I don't know, like, I mean, the advanced mark is something I was incredibly positive about because I came up with the idea of the advanced mark. And the advanced mark in my head was an option of a long ball and being rewarded for catching instead of being surrounded. And it was inside the 21. Now it's been moved out to the 45, as we know, and the time for taking has been moved from 5 seconds to 15 seconds. Now, in the National League last year, this was fairly positive. Very few players were taking marks inside the 45. They were playing on. Now, because everybody knew they wasn't coming into the championship, they probably didn't put much work into it. Now, the big danger of this rule, in my opinion, instead of inside the 21, which would only happen three or four times maybe in a game where you might bang in a diagonal one and hope it's caught, that would add a bit of theatre to the game, I thought, and it would reward a fella for catching instead of being surrounded. Our team's going to work on, now they know this is a full rule. You know, when there's kind of defensive teams sitting back and the ball's on over one side, and then you might be outside the 45, you'll bang a diagonal ball to a lad just free on the far side of the field. He catches into his belly. Is he getting a free shot at the goal now? I would hate to see that. Mm. That's not really Gaelic football then. And don't think coaches won't work on ways of getting an easy mark into your belly and having a free shot at goal and then having 15 seconds to go through a routine. I don't know. Like, I mean, instead of this being a real positive thing in my head, I can see in 2 or 3 years it being people getting rid of it.
Well, I agree with everything you said there, Wooly. I don't think we can take too much reading from last year's league campaign because fellas knew that this is gone come championship. So what's the point in practicing it?
Yeah.
So
and managers admitted not practicing it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Because it makes sense to do that. So we probably get a real sense of its value or maybe lack of value in this year's National League. For me, I think it's the wrong decision. I would be a proponent of the mark inside the 21 with the ball being kicked from outside the 45.
Yeah, 5-yard easy line. To police. It's a whole lot clear. Yeah.
It's going to slow down Gaelic football, in my view. Most guys are just going to take the mark, take the 15 seconds, like you said. I think last year it was five seconds.
You're not even rewarding a skill. Catching it into your belly unmarked from a ball just outside the 45 over to the other side just inside it.
Yeah.
If that was to happen, what are you being rewarded for there?
It's not
a big skill of the game.
Yeah, I think Tomás O'Shea was giving out about it, wasn't he? And Mark McHugh actually made a good point. He was kind of replying to Tomás O'Shea. He said that I hadn't actually thought about it until I saw him say it, but like kind of it nearly removes the art of a forward taking his man on, because rather than receiving it, let's say the ideal ball into a forward, you've talked about it a lot, is when it bounces to them on the run, so they can take it on the run, then take on their man. Whereas now it'll be just a case of it landing in their belly, and with them having 15 seconds to spare, why would they turn around and take on their man when they can have a free shot? Then it'll also cause defenders have to be far more aggressive because they can't let the forward just win the ball anymore. They have to try and win it out in front and stuff. So I don't like kind of ridiculing the rule before I've seen what it's like. But this isn't the trial, you see.
No.
That's the
but
only
it's
thing.
But it's not here forever.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not working and the game's being slowed down, we can get rid of it. So I just wish that they hadn't. The reason they gave for extending it to the 45 was that it was too difficult to judge whether the player had caught it inside the 21. You know, when they're coming out running, whether it's inside or outside. And I accept that point. But that's... At the same time, that's easier to police on a line than a referee having to watch his sin bin time, to watch the normal time, to watch what black cards are, and now to see whether a ball has gone 20 metres, impossible, and then whether the fella has been slightly outside it or slightly inside it, or did he run inside it. I think it opens up way more difficulties, and then they have to time 15 seconds of whether when he catches it to when he kicks it.
Yeah.
It's much harder than the way it initially was.
I think he's a Westmead man. I think he's head of the referees organisation. I'll get a story out in a minute. But he came out against it, saying we're adding more work to the referees who are already overburdened. And then Pat McEnany came out then saying maybe it is time at inter-county level to have two referees in place. The 10-minute sin bin rule is going to be exploited. by any clever team where you slow down the clock.
The following year, the shot clock will come in and fix that. But I don't know why they just don't do it with it.
I know, people were talking about, oh, well, how do you please the shot clock at club level? Well, you just keep the club game as it is, and you introduce the shot clock at inter-county level. They do that with the senior ladies. Yeah. I think it works quite well. But
yeah, everyone's fine. Like, Hawkeye only applies to Crow Park, and like, club players aren't giving out about that. Do you know what I mean?
No,
there has to be an acceptance, as you said, in the
especially
women's
when it's not possible. Although there are club venues where in a Moore Park you could do it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's a digital scoreboard there, and with a time on it. But I don't think it'd be that hard because I know in Parnell Park they play all the club games there.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't happen in club league games but you can for club championship you could probably at the county grounds bring it in.
Yeah. Right? I was just thinking at club level as well, like I know referees who don't move between the 2:45s and for them to have to police balls that are going 20 metres into the 21 yard line,
your umpire, you ask your umpire, was he inside or outside, like a square ball, you know, that's what you do there. Like,
them lads are getting the square ball wrong as well. but even the square ball rule, I know it's something else, but like it's really difficult to actually police the square ball if you're standing, unless you actually
come right up
and stand parallel and have a replay.
It is. You're judging it. And you'd be judging the mark on the 21 as well. But look, that's not what... I think it's very disappointing that the mark inside the 21 had almost universal approval. And now this one, everyone's given out. And I think they're right, you know? And then moving from 5 seconds to 15 to slow the game. Now, why do that?
Yeah.
Why do that? When you're not rewarding a skill, why reward them by going through a bloody free-taking
routine? I tell you, the reason why they've extended it is because they want to see an introduction to they want to see us going back to Gaelic football being football and the ball being kicked, and that's what they want. So they want the ball being kicked from the defensive 60 yard line forward, whatever the yards are inside the 45,
and
that's the reason.
It's encouraging kicking. It's so that you're not playing this 3 minute possession game outside a screen, you're being enticed. Rewarded by enticed to kick it in. I can see that point of view, but I think we're moving away a little bit
it's
from all
game.
That's kind of it is a little bit different. We'll see how it develops, but like, I mean, like we say, I wouldn't be losing my mind over it until I see it not working, and then we'll lose our mind and we'll campaign to get rid of it. I thought it was funny, Martin McHugh, this was a classic. This was on the RT website. He was giving out about this tier two. Just funny, he was talking about making it elitist. He says, I don't think there's anything wrong with the game. He says, are we going to go down the road of ending up with a semi-professional game? And a lot of people are talking about that. I don't know where that link is coming from. I think we're making it elitist. And what he says then after that is just an absolute classic. He says, Donegal and Tyrone meet in the first round of the Ulster Championship. They're classed as two top teams in the country. Normally, when you get beaten in the first round, you get an easy enough game to get yourself back on the wagon. That won't happen now, so that's unfair. So, like, I mean, he's giving out about being leaders.
Yeah.
And then he's saying, well, let them in, because we'll just hammer them and we'll get back on the road. It's a classic. And Turlough O'Brien has been rolled out again. Like, I mean, we all know Turlough's opinion on this. And his one is a funny one. Like, I don't like this tier two competition. It's going to be changed next year. I'm completely for a tier two, but maybe not this one. I don't like the way this was rushed in. There's better options out there, and I think we'll get that next year. But Turlough is saying we won't improve until we play the big teams. And I'm thinking, they're in Division 4. They went into Division 3 and got relegated straight back down. Teams in Division 3 are better than Carlow. You know, like, I mean, Cork and Tipp are in it this year. They'll probably get promoted. But Laois, Westmead, Fermanagh, they're all a level above Carlow. You're improving by playing those teams. What gives Carlow the right to bypass those teams and bypass Division 2 and say, we want to play Monaghan or Tyrone? Who gives them the right to do that? Like, I mean, you deserve the right. You earn the right to play the big teams by getting to Division 2 or winning Tier 2. I hate this attitude that we won't improve unless we play Dublin. Why do you stop? Play Laois. You didn't beat them in four attempts two years ago. You learn by playing Donny Kingston and these fellas. What more do you want? And if you can't beat Laois, what gives you the right to play Tyrone? Just because you want to.
It's... I'm just surprised it's taken us this long as an organisation to actually create these two tiers. Going on Mark McHugh's point with his first one, where he says, I don't think we should have it. Well, if that's the case, then we shouldn't have four divisions in the league. Let's just have a 32 division league with London coming in as well. Mm-hmm. And sure, everyone gets to go with each other. But what I like about the hurling setup and the Joe McHugh, you've got five teams in the John McHugh.
John McDonough.
And the John McDonough. The two winners come up and they play, I think, third place.
They go back into it. Yeah,
go back into it. And that's a good option, a good structure. Now, I know the four competitions in the hurling, I think we should try to get to that level with the football. I'm just surprised it hasn't been a tier two before now.
Yeah.
I would have three, four tiers, and that you are playing at a level where you're supposed to be playing at. This the argument of fellas, they're going to go overseas. Well, I'm not going to mention fellas' names, but there's fellas in Carlow who have gone overseas. They played the league and they've gone overseas.
The way it is now.
Yeah. The way it is now.
Brendan Murphy did it, yeah.
Brendan Murphy did it, and that's just going to happen
if
anyway.
If you're going to go, you're going to go anyway.
You're going to go. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's definitely an interest. My whole idea is just play the league in the summer and call it the championship.
That would give you your four tiers, yeah.
Or even join one and two and three and four, then say three teams from Division One or four teams from Division One and two teams from Division Two go into All Ireland quarterfinals. You know, and there's a way of doing that. Yeah. But the league is an accepted tiered competition, it's the best one. Mm-hmm. So why not use that as your All Ireland competition?
It's the most competitive. And fellas, like you said, the Carrows are being pushed against the Donny Kingston of this world. And as you improve little increments each year, you end up where you're supposed to be. And just because Dublin came down to Carlow, where Dermot was feckin' put off for the 3 months, it's a great day out for the town, and seeing the dubs come down, like, that's all horseshit.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yeah, of course you can.
But you play where you're supposed to play.
But like Turlough O'Brien's argument about playing against the bigger teams. They're you're still starting off from the same base. You're still in the competition as you were beforehand.
Yeah, you can draw Dublin in the Leinster Championship.
It just means that when you go out to the Provincial Championship, and rather than being beaten in qualifiers, with all due respect, within probably one or two games, you're going into a championship that's more competitive.
A chance of playing in Crow Park.
Yeah,
in three games' time, you're in a semi final.
The only thing I'll say about elitism, and like you will talk to John Horan, I'm sure, eventually, but just he's not helping himself, I don't think, with like, you know, let's say the championship hasn't even been named yet. He said, oh, we'll get around to that. His guarantee about TV coverage is limited to a text message he got from the RTÉ head of sport.
Yeah, it's too messy, you're right.
And yeah, it's not exactly reassuring. Like, I had to ask you this morning, I'm still, are we sure on it, whether the winner of the Tier 2 Championship automatically actually qualifies?
Yeah, the winner gets into will play for Sam next year. But you're right, and all these promises of All-Stars and holidays and all, the Joe McDonagh Cup was promised All-Stars, and in the first year, there were All-Stars. And now Laois win it last year, and this year there's no Joe McDonagh All-Stars. Things are just made up to go along. Yeah. So their excuse for that was Joe McDonagh Cup is being seen as Liam McCarthy All-Star. So two Laois players got All-Star nominations. Now they came out of Joe McDonagh and beat Dublin. Would they have got any nominations without beating Dublin? Not in a million years. And there would have been just no Joe McDonagh Cup All-Stars. Like, it's being made up as it goes along. I can see the Tier 2 counties saying, right, well, these are all promises. Will we get a holiday? Will we get the All-Stars? Will we get to play in Crow Park? Who's to believe it?
Yeah.
Like, they are scared of these being empty promises and then them just cut adrift and they're, you know, like, not...
But they're right to be sceptical on the evidence so far.
Probably, yeah, exactly. But Tier 2, in theory, is the right thing to do. We'll all agree on that. Yeah. We don't trust it'll be All-Stars. Probably won't be. Oh, the last one I think was a classic. This was on the RTÉ website as well. So, like, I mean, they're really rolling out different lads to give out about this Tier 2. So RTÉ interviewed Conor McManus. Top three forwards in the game. Has won two Ulsters. Played in All-Ireland semi-finals. And Conor McManus wouldn't like to play in a Tier 2. Well, no shit.
It won't be happening anytime soon. I think he referenced they were Division 3 when Malik O'Rourke took them over.
A long time ago.
That's 7-8 years ago now. So.
Yeah, so that's it. I thought that was a classic. If you're going to roll people out, let's talk to David Clifford and see if he wants to play in the Tier 2 or bloody Conor Callaghan, and let's see what the story there is. Right.
But as a player, do you want to get bet up a stick by, let's go with Dublin versus Carlow, by the 18 points? And sure, wasn't a great day out for the county. Like, as a player, like, we've all played for teams where we have received 15, 20 point defeats time. It's not nice, like, you know.
No, it's terrible. Now, Turlough O'Brien does make the point is that they play teams at their own level in the league and they don't want to have to do the same thing in the championship. My point is, you don't do the same in the championship because Kildare, Meath, Laois, Dublin, they're not Division 3 or 4. And you play them, you can draw it against them in Leinster.
Yeah.
The only difference is in the Tier 2, you're drawn against teams, 8 of which are in a division above you. Like, who gives that? Where do they get off, Carlo? Like, seriously, they're the ones banging the loudest drum and they're the ones complaining about media coverage. Like, I'm not lying. I tweeted this that in all my years playing with Laois, Ger, and I ask you with Dublin, was whether we get media coverage. Now, Dublin probably get too much of it, but we never once mentioned, geez, if we go well this year, we'll get on the telly. It was just, that was never, ever mentioned in the Laois dressing room. If we were on the television, it would be exciting. You know, geez, we're on the telly.
For the parents and the grannies looking at you and everything.
But
yeah.
We wanted to improve. We wanted to get better. We wanted to win something. Being on the telly was so far down the list that for a player to even mention media coverage as a reason why they don't want the tier two, I would be too embarrassed to say that. Like, I would say, where's your priorities here?
You would, and the only person who would have scope maybe to put their case forward would be the county board chairman
yeah, because he's thinking about the support in the county.
The support, or we get $5,000 from RTE each time televise a game live. I don't know how it works, but I'm sure to get something.
Yeah.
Or where to go straight to Croke Park and it's divvied out that
way. But for management and players to say it, jeez, I just look at that and I cringe. It should be irrelevant. It should be irrelevant. And if you're good enough, your priority should be getting good enough that you get into Division 2 and now you're playing for Sam. Is that not the priority? In 3 years' time, we want to be in Division 2. Stop crying about Tier 2. Get better. Get to Division 2 and now you're playing for Sam. And you, by playing for Sam, you automatically will get media coverage. It shouldn't even be mentioned.
Yeah.
Improving, all these things will come with it. You don't just get it. You don't just get it because you ask for it. Like, I mean, it doesn't work like that. Anyways, we've probably gone over time there. We will talk to Keane Johnson next.
You can't touch this. Touch this.
A few weeks later, they played Kilkenny below Nolan Park, the same year. And they were being hockey. But the camera went in, there was a fella warming up. Well, Jesus, you should see him. Yeah, the fuck. He was massive. Legs, arse, built. But I bust out laughing watching him. There he was, the epitome of what I said.
I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know, you can't touch this. Look at my eyes, man.
All right, so Forban take on St. Pat's in the Leinster Club this weekend. Forban obviously ended a 25-year famine by beating the Offaly Kingpins Road in the county final last week. Their star forward, Keane Johnson, who scored 2-3 in that game, joins us on the line now. Keane, how's it going?
Not too bad, yourself?
Not too bad. Has everything settled down in Forban? I saw you on the back of lorries. I saw you getting shout-outs from celebrities. I saw all sorts of going on in Forban.
We're well calmed down at this stage now. We'd want to be, but I was unreal, like, dream come true. Like, 25 years is way too long, like, it is famine, like you say, and, like, it's only my second year with the seniors, but I've been listening to people saying for that I need to win a senior since I was about 14, like, so it feels like forever, even though I'm only not involved that long, but, like, the homecoming was special, like, the people on the street, like, it was covered, and even seeing some players from the last time we won it in 94, like, it's just, they never thought it would have been this long since we won it, like, so it was just mad altogether.
Yeah, because Forban have good tradition, like, I mean, they dominated Offaly football in the 80s and won a Leinster club. I won't mention who to beat. Okay, it was Portlaoise, so the less said about that, the better. But they were a big team, because I remember even from my own club that Forban would have been kind of rivals within Leinster. So 25 years for a club like Forban obviously was a long time.
Yeah, it's way too long. Like, we have a good underage setup. Like, we won everything underage. Like, I grew up winning. Like, I started playing minor when I was 15. I played in 4 minor finals and I won 3 of them, lost the other one. We're after winning the last 3 under-20s in a row. Like, so we are coming. And
it's probably been coming
for a while, even though, like, we've still a lot of young lads, like, on the team. So there was a bit of pressure, and even playing road, like, they've kind of been the arch enemies of everyone in Offaly, like, so hard to beat. Like, even, like, some of their players are pushing on a bit, but they're still so experienced, so hard to beat. And, like, just to finally get over them in the county final, like, it was just unreal. Like, we were celebrating nearly all night. Like, I think we finished up at, like, 6:30 or something.
Yeah.
Monday morning. We got about 2 hours sleep then, and we were up in the primary and secondary schools, and we shouldn't have been that near them because some of the boys were still drunk. So, I don't know whose idea that was. So.
Well, at least you went. I wasn't really in the habit of going to the schools. I was heading in another direction. But that's it, because you were 5 points down in the final, and, like, you were well beaten by them last year. So is it probably crossing your minds maybe at parts of that game that here we go again maybe?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, we were 8-6 down at half time. We knew we were in the game, like, 2 points in that big a margin. But then straight after half time, I never seen the ball for the first 10 minutes of the second half. I might as well have been sitting in the stand. I was watching the match literally from inside. And Roe kicked the first 3 points in a row. We're 5 points down, like we're 11-6 down, and you're thinking, here we go again. Like, and then just one ball came into the square, and two Roe defenders went for it, and they both kind of clashed, and the ball just popped up for me, and I stuck in the net then. That changed absolutely everything, because like even the crowd, like I think all the neutrals were rooting for us, like, because we often, everyone wants to see the underdog win. And
yeah.
Just unreal. And then we won the next 8 road kickouts in a row then after that. And we went from being 5 down to 4 up in literally a blink of an eye. Like, and road were just rattled, and we got our tails up, and it's hard to get the pressure back the other way when the team gets a run. So
yeah, when you got the run on, you got the run on them at the right time. You have a weird record in that you've played senior for Offaly before you played with Forban. That was at the start of last year. Stephen Wallace got you in, and you didn't do too badly. You got 1-3 against Wexford in the Auburn Cup, and got 6 from play against Dublin in Parnell Park. So, like, I mean, maybe Forban were trying to mind you, maybe, or you know, you were still in the leaving cert. But it's unusual for someone to play with their county before their club.
Yeah, no, I think I was playing with the Offaly Miners, and I wasn't training much with Forban. So then when the first round of the senior came, I didn't start, and then the intermediate was on that evening. So I played the intermediate that evening. I had done well, and then I was just flying it for the intermediates, and then they didn't want to take me away because we were just doing unreal, and we got to county final. And then it was nearly too late then to go back into the seniors, and then Offaly called me in, and I went well with them. And then obviously it's well documented what happened there, but I spent the whole year training, like, and then I got told about a week before the championship I couldn't play, like, so it was just disappointing, but there's not much I can do about it now.
Yeah, well, you're over the under-20s grade now, so you're available for next year. Like, it obviously was frustrating. Maybe it'll be a blessing in disguise that you've got that extra year of club under your belt before you kind of hit senior championship football.
Like, a one cup in league is grand, like, but obviously championship is completely different. And like, even when I went in, like, I played well in some games, but I still, like, even, like, some of the lads looking at me going, like, this lad's only a young lad, like, but at least now I have a year under my belt, like, I won the county final, like, so at least now when I go in for pre-season, like, I'm kind of going to be one of them, like, no one's going to be saying, like, who's he, like, you know?
Yeah, psychologically, you're properly ready this time, rather than maybe having that doubt in your mind, you know, of whether you are. You must be excited about going in with John Mahan, because in fairness to him, I know Forban's style of football is heads-up football, and you like to get it in to the inside forward line. Awfully playing like that, played really well against Meade, you know, had a good championship last year, unlucky in the league, but played well against Leash. He plays the type of football, I'm sure, that excites you.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it, like, they had a serious run in the championship last year. Like, we think got to round 3, I think we got at least beat us. But, like, that's further than we've gotten early on the other year. And, like, we ran Meade close, and Meade went on to do decent in Super 8s. Like, so I'm really looking forward to getting in and even starting the Auburn Cup before Christmas, and then the league, and then this Tier 2 maybe, or whatever's going to happen. So I'm really looking forward to getting back in, and just kind of, it's been a long 2 years, like, kind of waiting for it. So I'm finally going to get the green light to go.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll talk to you about the Tier 2 in a minute, but I want to talk to you about your style of corner forward play, because the stat, you retweeted it anyway, so it must be accurate. I wasn't sure if it was accurate or not, or who came up with it. So you had 6 shots at goal against Shamrocks in the quarterfinal, scored 6. You had 5 shots against Eden Derry and you scored 5. And you had 5 shots against Road and you scored 2-3. Number one, is that an accurate stat? And number two, are you patiently waiting in close to goals, you know, to be getting the ball, you know, close enough to goals that you're going to be able to turn and shoot, or are you trying to get on ball? Like, what's your style of play in there?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, two people wouldn't believe it, like, but yeah, it is. But like, they're the kind of standards I set myself. Like, I'd be disappointed with that unless, like, I know everyone kicks wise, but like, I practice shooting before chain, after chain, get a bag of balls, go to pitch on my own. Like, so when it comes to the match, it's just second nature. Like, I'm an inside forward, like, scoring is my job. So everybody else is donkey work, get the ball into me. So when it comes in, I have to produce. I'm a poacher. Like, I do stay close to goals. Like, if anyone sees me chasing someone out the pitch, if I go past 45, all I get is that screaming at me to go back in, like, because they know I'm no good to out around the middle. So, like, if Rod seen me chasing lads in the Iraq line, they'd be delighted. Like, so I have to stay close as possible. And, like, I know it's just working hard and all that, but like, there's 14 other lads do that. Like, just get me the ball and I'll win the game for us.
Yeah, well, that's a good attitude. I'm sure your teammates love when you tell them to do the donkey work and get the ball into me.
Yeah, like there would be like they kind of, if they see me letting the cornerback off pitch, like there'll be a few lads running and shouting, but like when I get the ball and stick it in the net, they're all right with it.
I read a good quote from you saying, like, you don't lack confidence, and I think, well, that's a great thing. I read a quote from you talking about pressure, and you said, I know I have the skill to trouble anyone any day I go out. All the pressure is on the person marking me. And you never really thought about it like that. I suppose the pressure should be on the cornerback. Some corner forwards might tie themselves up in not saying, I have to produce, you know, whereas the cornerback should be the one having to quieten down a top class forward.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't feel any pressure at all. I never get nervous for a game. I'm almost just excited, like, because it's all about the big day. Like, I love the big day. I love going out just showing how good I am. Like, every chance, every final, like, so many people there, like, such a big event. Like, I love just showing off my skills. Like, there's no pressure at all. I don't feel it. Like, I know when I go playing for Fermanagh, I'm probably going to have to score 5 or 6 points maybe to get us over. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, nobody's telling me that, but I know that myself. So I don't feel any pressure. Like, I know I'm going to get 5 or 6 chances in the game, and it's just up to me whether I take them or not, and how much work I put in making sure my shooting is on point. So
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. You've put in a lot of work on your right foot. You're not naturally two-footed, but you I think a bit late in your development you started working on your right.
Yeah, oh Lord, like, even when I was young, lad, like, no one ever told me. I came the whole way up. I started playing off the under-13, and nobody's ever told me to work on my right foot. Like, it's not good enough really from a coach point of view, but like anytime you used to get the ball, it's just left foot. I'm sick of it. Like, and even last year we got beat by Rowe by 118-10, and I was like looking at Anton and Niall McNamee kicking points off 4 feet, and I was like, I need to get up to that level.
Yeah.
And I set a reminder on my phone, and it was just the score from last year. It was just 118-10, and it went off at 6 o'clock every day, and I'd go out to the side of my house and just kick ball up against the wall for 15 minutes. And I just seen a dramatic improvement. Like, I think I got 4.24 from playing championship this year, and I think got 9 points off my right foot. Like, so
right.
It might not have been the whole difference, but like, it's just small things like that just make a big difference.
Ah,
so,
yeah, but it's not even what you score off your right. If you turn on your right and get one, well, that'll give you room to be able to get three that you might not have got on your left. You know, once that option is there, you have that trick in your bag. You know.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's 9 times that I would have turned back and hand passed it back out, and everyone going, ah, what are you doing? Like, so.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to just pull the trigger. Like.
So you set a reminder on your phone as a motivation for the full year to because of how much to beat you, and got up at 6:30 every morning and kicked the ball against the wall.
No. I used to go up at 6 o'clock in the evening. And
6 o'clock in the evening.
1:18-10. Yeah, geez, no, I wouldn't be getting up at 6:30. But like, if I had a master train, I wouldn't do it, because I'm kind of superstitious and I don't want to do anything on the master train day. But other than that, whenever I'm free, I just go and get the ball off the wall, and like, the old one's head is wrecked, like, the paint is coming off the wall. But she was happy enough with the performance of the weekend, so she'll be
all right. She'll be okay. So, like, I mean, when I remember when I was trying, I did the same as you, and actually, funny enough, David Clifford was talking about that with me this year, that he was maybe under 14, under 16, and all the defenders were saying to him, stay on his left, and that's what motivated him to go to start working more on his right. His right is almost perfect. But, like, you almost have to go through the technique yourself. And when I actually had to study how I kicked it with my right, and then just copied that and started repeating that over and over again with, you know, with my left or whatever. Like, I'm the same as you. Nobody actually told me how to do it. You just kind of figure it out by yourself.
Yeah, that's it. Like, even when I started with MRI, I used to drop it with my left hand on my right foot. Like,
crazy.
It's just, you just need to see the way you do it with your good foot, and then practice. Like, and it's like with anything. Like, you just do it over and over again. It comes natural. Like, so, like, my right foot is never going to be as good as my left, like, because I'm naturally left foot. But if I can get even half of it, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, you'd be happy with it. That's funny, because when I started with my left as well, I dropped the ball down with my right hand, and you look incredibly awkward. You can't do it on the run. You can't do it on the run, and you just have to actually a light bulb goes off in your head and say, why don't I actually drop it with the same hand as I dropped my good hand? It's a weird one. But come here, we mentioned tier two there. What's your feelings on that? It's kind of, I don't know, it's split. I think we were talking about it on the show here already, and a lot of people are in favour maybe of the tier two, but maybe not necessarily this one. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. Like, it's definitely the right idea, but it's probably how to go about it will probably determine whether it's success or not. But like, it has to be given the respect it serves. Like, otherwise players just won't buy into it. Like you were saying on the show, like, it has to be called something All Ireland. Like, Yeah. Nobody wants to play in the Mickey Mouse Cup or whatever they're going to call it. Like, nobody, like, it just doesn't sound good. Like, they have to give the All-Stars team holiday, everything. And I think it can work if to do that. But I think what's scaring people off is kind of what happened with the Joe McDonough. Like, even, you know yourself, you know, when you're watching the Sunday game and they show 30 seconds of highlights or don't show it at all. And, like, even yesterday, they abandoned the All-Stars after 1 year for Joe McDonough. Like, so that's kind of what's scaring people off about tier two.
Yeah.
And, like, even after the county final, a lad from the Donegal Boston club rang me. He's wondering would I go over next summer. And, like, they've won it the last 2 years. Like, Ted Connolly, Mark Bradley, Barry John Keane. Like, I was thinking to myself, geez, I can't turn this down. Like, so, like, if the tier two doesn't get the respect it deserves, like, I'd say you're going to see a lot of Division 3 and 4 players, like, over in America in the summer. So,
yeah.
They have to just do properly.
That's the danger, I suppose. But then, like, I mean, from your point of view, if you play in the Leinster Championship and you're knocked out as it was last year, and then you go into the qualifiers and you get a game or two and get beaten, whereas this year, if you get knocked out, you go back into the 16 of the Tier 2 All-Ireland and you've potentially a chance of getting to Croke Park for an All-Ireland semi-final. Would that not make you stay, you know, instead of, getting beaten by Laois, like in a Moore Park or whatever?
Yeah, I definitely would, like, but I think if they just show the games on TV and give the All-Stars and all that, definitely, like, I wouldn't be thinking about it then, but, like, you know yourself, like, if Laois won a Tier 2 All-Ireland and you've seen the Laois team coming into Port Laois on the bus with a cup and a homecoming, like, that's better than getting hammered in the qualifiers, like, so it's definitely the right idea. It's just, if they win, they work with it, it'll definitely work, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Come here, I won't keep up too much of your time. I see, obviously, Niall McNamee would be a big hero of yours. He's a brilliant player nationally, and, you know, he's up there with the very best. Gooch is also one of your favourite players, which probably won't come as much of a surprise, but I was interested that the reason, obviously, his ability goes without saying, but you said the way he conducted himself on and off the field, he was a real class act, and that's something that would often cross my mind with the Gooch, just his temperament and the way he conducted himself on the field.
Yeah, like, he's definitely one of the best players of all time, and just the way, like, you never heard anything about Gooch, like, the way you hear about some of the players now. He's always just laid back, like, he's just done his stuff, and he left the football, he was talking, like, and, like, he never really made the headlines for anything other than just being class, like, so that's just why I love him.
Yeah, and he never rose to the bait from defenders. I'm sure you get that a lot, especially in club football in Offaly.
Yeah, you can't, like, they're only looking for a reaction in that, so you just kind of, you just give them a ruffle of the hair when you're kicking a point, and that'll keep them quiet for a while.
I like yourself. You're down in Newell. Are you studying to be a teacher? I read it. You can't say this in the interview for the job, but you said that you wanted to be a teacher because it suits your lifestyle.
yeah, I think that was a few years ago. I'm doing a health and fitness down in Newell. So
okay.
I took a year out last year, and because the year I was in my office seniors, I was doing my leaving cert, and I was doing absolutely nothing. I was just dropping the school bag and going to Cormac every evening. So the leaving cert didn't go great now, but I got into UL anyway. So I'm going all right. That I'm going to play a bit of freshers down there, maybe play a bit of Sigerson next year, hopefully. So yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely is. Come here, taking up enough of your time, Keane. Thanks very much for taking the call. Best of luck at the weekend against St. Pat's.
Thanks a million. Thanks a million for having me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up now, because there's no such thing as a media ban. We don't have a media ban.
Ah, you do?
No, we don't.
Let Shamey talk at a Hurley launch one day.
Yeah, but hold on a second now. He was at a Hurley launch, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a media ban if he can't talk at that.
Absolutely not. I think you guys need to do your job. Don't depend on us guys for quotes, you know.
Okay.
Earn your living like the rest of us.
But if he's at a media day and he says to the media that I'm not allowed to talk, then he's obviously on a ban.
Well, I think he's carrying a mixed message.
Okay, so Paddy Power predictions. We're going to start with Ferban and St. Pat's, just on the back of Keane Johnson, a young player who doesn't lack confidence. For a young lad of 19, Gerard, to say, well, look, I'm a finisher. My teammates do the donkey work to get it into me. Have to say, I love that. That reminds me of a young Colin Parkinson.
So, in fairness, you put your money on the table too. A lot of those games, Colin.
I did a few.
So.
Now I couldn't finish like Keane. So Keane, like, I mean, he's a proper finisher. Like, I wasn't. So a lot of the time I couldn't put my money where my mouth is, because you go out and kick five or six wides. He probably is in a better position to back up his.
Well, after 2-2 in 20 minutes in the county final, didn't he? So yeah. cock of the walk at the moment.
Exactly. So for Banner 1-2, St Patrick's are 21-10. The Louth champions are always decent. Like, I mean, they're definitely no pushover. Portlaoise have struggled against them down through the years. Forban have tradition, and Keane mentioned that. Forban won the Leinster Club in 1986, and you'll know all, Ger, about tradition. I know it in Portlaoise, and the minute you start winning county titles, you're reminded, well, here now, there's more at stake than just a county title. And the older lads that won Leinster clubs will say, well, our club wins Leinster clubs, we don't just win Leinster titles. And, you know, for Ban's point of view, hearing that me, you've obviously heard it in St Vincent's as well.
Yeah, and for me, it used to actually annoy me, and I used it as a motivator to get ourselves into that bracket. So we stopped talking with the fellas, while respectful of them, you're trying to add to what they've achieved, not to sound like Jim, Gavin, but that you're trying to forge your own legacy in many ways. So it's how you use that. You use that as something that gets in on you, and it's an extra pressure. That's Jeannie Mac, if you don't win now, all the old boys will be thinking we're useless. Mm. Or you say, well, John, I'm sick and tired of you, old boy. I'll have a few points with you afterwards, but we're going to go ahead and try to win the championship ourselves. And that was just how I used to kind of deal with that kind of external pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it. But it does tend to give you that bit. You see a lot of clubs, they'll win a county title, they've no history in Leinster, they go mad. Like, I've seen even Laois clubs might be drinking the night before a Leinster club game. We wouldn't even think of that. You know, that's, you have to kind of move on now and go to another. I think without tradition, it's harder.
Yeah, that's all over the shop. Obviously, you mentioned Keane Mackey, the difference between winning the county title and Cavan last year compared to winning it this year. You know, the celebrations were far more muted. And it would be the same for anyone without the tradition that the likes of Vincent's and Portlaoise have, that, like, they're well entitled, I suppose, to celebrate a county title. It doesn't come around that often. But
look at Tyrone. Tyrone don't do well in Ulster Club, and they should, because it's so hard to win Tyrone, and maybe just the tradition isn't there to care
for
about.
Hadn't won in a long time, though. I wonder,
25 years,
That's a long enough wait to maybe overdo the celebrations a little bit.
I think Forban will win this at one. Forban are 1-2. Although, like, St Pat's are a solid team, and, like, I mean, 2-1. It's hard to know. I'll go for Forban here just because of that bit of tradition. Ger,
I'm going to go with St Pat's.
You'll go with St Pat's.
Forban for me.
Right. Okay. We'll move on to the next one. So Gary Castle against Killoe Emmett Ogue. I don't know much about Killoe Emmett Ogue, but I was doing a little bit of looking, and he struggled against them 1 year, Ger. It was 2015 or 16, maybe it was. He only beat them by, was it a point?
A couple of points in the end. They're a very, again, tight-knit parish. A lot of cousins and brothers all on the first 15 and subs coming in. So they just have something extra that is hard to manifest in any team you're taking charge of, to build that kind of spirit. And
it's hard for Dublin clubs, it's hard for town teams to replicate that community kind of spirit, isn't it?
It is, and if you allow that spirit any sort of breathing space beyond the first 5-10 minutes, it's very hard to kind of rein it in and keep on top of it.
Yeah.
And that's what Killoe really have going for them, and that's what we would have struggled against going back a couple of years.
Especially you'd struggle often if you want to draw Vincent's in their first round game. You often struggled in that, because I remember when you struggled against Meath teams, you struggled against Longford teams, and probably because the Dublin Championship drags on so long, you're straight out in the Leinster club and you need to warm into it. Ballymun struggled in the first round. I remember a lot of the champions, you want to draw the Dublin club champions in the first round.
Yeah, and it's probably the time to get the Dublin club champions. It's such a competitive competition, and you know a lot of the guys so well, haven't played against them over the years, that the old boasting rights, or the bit of ego, because you see the guys more regular than you with the country guys, that the mental relief after winning a county final, you know, if you don't watch that after a couple of days, you can kind of lose a bit of focus and lose a bit of momentum. And in 2007, we won the club championship for the first time in 23 years. We drew against Central Town of Meath in Parnell Park, and we were awful, and we just about got over the line the next day, and then we got a bit of momentum, and then we kind of refocused, reset our targets. But it's probably time to get a Dublin club in the first round.
Yeah, I meant to, I'm wondering why you went for St Patrick's, and I'm thinking of ratting you 2 years ago.
Yeah. And St Patrick's, but they've won a few championships. They're well organised.
They lost after a replay to Ratneu last year. I'm pretty sure Ratneu beat them after replay, or was it St Pat's beat Ratneu? I can't exactly remember, but definitely Ratneu shocked you that year. That started a bit of a downward spiral really for Vincent's then,
It probably did, and we haven't really recovered since. So that was Brian Mullins' last game. There were three or four of us going into that match with significant injuries. We shouldn't have actually played, myself included, but for the love of the club and everything else. But if you had fitter, younger guys in there at that particular juncture, I would have fancied their chances against them. At the same time, still had opportunities to win the game, but yeah, wasn't meant to be. It's Rat News time.
I'll never forget hearing the result of that game. I was sitting watching Portlaoise Moorfield, and Portlaoise were, I think they were 3 points up and the clock running down, and I'm like, here we go, we're avoiding the Dublin champions, thank God, because we had a terrible record against Dublin champions. Moorfield score a goal and a point, and then you Moorfield win the Leinster Club in the 1 year Portlaoise would have avoided. I was like, what kind of look is this? Gary Castle obviously kind of surprise packages in Westmeath this year. Lomans and Mullingar Shamrocks have been dominating that. They're 4-5 favourites. You beat them in the 15 final, kind of when they were stronger probably than they are now.
Yeah, and one of the Dolans, Desi's brother, I think, is managing.
He's manager, yeah.
So I think maybe we bet him by 2 or 3 in Parnell Park. Was it the semi-final or Leinster
semi-final?
Semi-final,
yeah.
So they chatting to Desi actually before that that final in Parnell Park. He was up at the Dublin games, but they were 8 points down against St Lomans, and they just stuck at it.
Yeah, they put an old big man in on the edge of the square.
On the edge of the square.
Desi off.
I think Desi's out there saying he's retired now.
Yeah, well, he's retired from Westmeath football. He's playing this Leinster club. He'll never play Westmeath club football again. Yeah. That's pretty much. So he might have. That's his one retirement from Intercounty. Now he retired from Westmeath club. Now he'll retire from Leinster club.
So wait for the Instagram post now to come.
So I'm going to go for Killoe here. Longford champions. They're dogged. They're bloody dogged. And they play, usually most of them play a defensive enough style, they're hard to break down at this time of the year. I'll go for Killoe in that one. What do you think, Jared?
I'll join you.
Okay. Yeah, Killoe as well. Johnny McCormick plays for them, you know, good free taker for Longford as well, so that could swing the battle.
Yeah, okay, so Aroge Carlow versus Castletown. I think Aroge are going to win this. The Wexford champions they haven't featured in Leinster. They actually take beatings. You know what I mean? They're very, very poor standard when they come out of Wexford for whatever reason.
It's one of the few counties left, Willie, haven't done a bit of coaching down there over the last couple of years, where like up to nearly 10 of the starting 15 of the football team are starting on the senior hurling team. And the structure of Wexford football, the two groups of six all play each other once, and then it's divvied up to the knockout stages. But there's such an interchange with dual players, so I'd say that's why they probably don't get as far as they'd like in the Leinster campaign, because you just don't have enough football played.
Right, because they're playing. We talked with Conor MacDonald, and he won the intermediate football and the senior hurling, and I think he's playing like 16 weekends in a row between hurling, you know, one on, one off, There has to be some reason behind it. And Paul Galvin mentioned to us that the amount of dual players in these clubs is outrageous.
It is outrageous.
Maybe that's the reason, because Wexford shouldn't be underperforming like they do in Leinster.
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely the reason, though.
Yeah. Okay, look, we'll all go Aroge here, will we?
Aroge.
Yeah, okay. 5-1 on, are they? So, yeah.
They're 5-1 on, right. Okay, that's according to Paddy Power. So, Kildare final, this is the replay. Moorfield versus Sarsfield. So, this is, we build this up last week, the big Newbridge derby and all that goes with it. So, this is the Moorfield manager, Ross Galvin. So, Ross is saying, Ross is moving in with Jack O'Connor next year at Intercounty. So, this type of honesty will not be appreciated at the Intercounty level. So, he says, whereby Sarsfield set up a little bit tighter and they probably look to slow the game down a little bit. I suppose they strategically foul to slow the game down and get bodies in front of the free taker. They're just looking to niggle away at us, so the pace of the game is a bit slower so they can get bodies behind the ball. We have to be patient and break them down and mind the ball and keep it out of contact. It'll be interesting because there's two contrasting styles between both teams. I love that. You wouldn't be allowed to say that at Intercounty level for the fear that it'll be put up in the dressing room wall or whatever. But a club definitely. He getting away, and he's probably his analysis is probably spot on. It's just you don't often hear that.
It's probably great to hear that, honestly, because in the GA circle, some of the interviews with managers, it's like rinse and repeat over the course of a season.
Yeah.
It can be kind of quite boring, but Moorfield going for 3 in a row, and obviously the town rival between themselves and Sarsfields, you got to do what it takes to win. You play to the culture, the norms of the game. Everyone bends the rules. You bend the rules to in as far as you can.
Yeah, you've beaten Moorfield, haven't you? You wouldn't have played Sarsfield. I think they won it a year you weren't in it.
We know we never got to play the Galair teams in my
Did
time.
Did you not? No.
We had five Leinster campaigns.
Because looking at you, you've beaten pretty much every other county down through those years in it, haven't you?
A few. We kept getting drawn against you, lads. Not to bring that up.
Tell me about it. It's not like something I like to be reminded of. Right, well, we get predictions on this one. So Moorfield versus Sarsfields. I'm going to stick with Sarsfields. I went with them last week. They scored most of the points. The goals and the good start kept Moorfield in it. Whether Sarsfields can kind of hit them as hard this time, it's up in the air. But I'm going to stick with who I went with last week.
I think history dictates that the favourite going into the drawn game tends to win the replay.
True.
So
yeah. But this is very close in the betting, yeah, though. This is very, there's not much between them. And do you know that the three in a row hasn't been done since the 50s in Kildare? It's something that's not, and Sarsfields were the ones that did it. So Sarsfields do not want to allow. Johnny Doyle was telling me this on Monday. And so Moorfield let Sarsfields know they have two Leinster clubs, Sarsfields have none, and Sarsfields respond by saying, well, we've a three in a row. So Sarsfields cannot let Moorfield win.
None of them were alive for
Ragnar Rice.
This is what goes on. So you're going to go for Moorfield?
I went with Sarsfields first, so you're going to stick with them too.
All right. Okay, so the Kilkenny hurling final, lads. This is a huge one. This is Ballyhale Shamrocks versus James Stevens in Nolan Park. James Stevens have hammered them already this year, you'd be surprised to hear. And James Stevens also beat them in his 2017 final. Beat them well, 3-16 to 1-12, which will be interesting. James Stevens have a very good record against Ballyhale Shamrocks. Henry Shefflin said, it's the goal of every club to make the county final. We face formidable opponents who have a very good record against us. But if we play to our potential, we have a great chance. So that's an interesting one in itself. You look at that and you go, Ballyhale will win that. But then maybe James Stevens are a bogey team and there's this kind of inter-club rivalries that you might not be on top of.
The Kilkenny Senior Hurling Championship, very similar to the Dublin Senior Football Championship. There's four or five teams that can kind of win it any year. So there'd be very little between both sets of players. Ballyhale, from the outside looking in, because of how well they did last year, I mean, Henry Shefflin being involved, people think Asher Day win, but
how hard is it to come back after winning an All-Ireland club and start back through that county process all over again? Because there's very little of a break, and then you have to get up for a county final when, let's be honest, a county final is nowhere near where you've, you know what I mean, maybe been psychologically. Yeah. Or do you think the county final is just a stepping stone to get back to that other stage? How do you treat the championship the following year?
You have to kind of trick your brain in many ways and reset the target. Like when you win your first county championship, like you mentioned Keane Mackey there last year, great celebrations, hasn't been done in a long time, or the first time for a lot of players to win it. And then the second year, okay, we've won it again, becomes a bit of a norm, so your target or your goals, they get a bit higher. And in the same way, Ballyhale, they will see it as a failure if they don't progress and try to do a double.
But is your motivation to win the county the next year not just to win the county? Is it to get back to that kind of All-Ireland stage, or do you just say, we have to win the county? Do you just focus on the county?
Depends on the individual. For me, the opposition, we played Ballymun quite a good bit, and the Fianna,
that helped, yeah.
Yeah, and that really helped. And we had our tactics and ways of playing, and the quarter final we got 50 tackles, so we're going to get 60 tackles this week, and that is a factor and that is a goal that you're trying to work on as a group. But I don't want to lose to Ballymun, and I used to get great motivation from that. So different players do different things, different coaches probably have to be aware of the different ways in which the group are motivated, and you have your team target, but quietly you're doing your little phone call, or you're meeting Woolley, or you're meeting Connor quietly, and you're saying, got to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Woolley, you're getting closer to county panel, talking to Brian Cody, keep doing what you're doing, and you're going to be in there next year. Whatever it is, you have to kind of mess around with those heads to the best. Yeah.
It's funny with your own personal motivation that Keane Johnson telling me in the interview that he set a reminder on his phone. So Road hammered Forbann last year, 118 to 10 points in the final, Keane's first ever county final. He put a reminder on his phone for 6:30 every day, with the score of that final to pop up on his phone, and he went out.
Jesus.
He went out to the side of his house and kicked ball with his right foot, which is his weaker foot, until a point where his mother was giving out that she was chipping the paint off. But good stuff though, like for that's a young amazing, man like that to put the reminder on his phone of, and that's flashing every day what Road beat.
I wonder how long he did that for.
Yeah, well, sure, obviously the year in between the two matches, maybe
6 every morning. That's impressive.
We're every evening.
I touch it every morning.
That'd be like Rocky stuff, wouldn't it?
Were Ballyhale beaten in the first round in our like 3 weeks after they won the All-Ireland, I think. Yeah, so they've been beaten. So
They do six teams in a group, I think. Yeah.
They are vulnerable. Now, that would have been really tricky, obviously, just to, well, you'd be used to let them play in All-Ireland Cup Finals, but have to play another, you know, high-octane championship game in the county a couple of weeks after.
We played St. Patrick's Day, I think it was a Monday a couple of years ago, and the following Sunday we had a league game. Crazy.
Yeah.
And we had to fulfil, like, you know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. It's mad when we were preparing for the All-Ireland Club Final in 2005, we were playing league that year. We used the very last league game before the final as a warm-up game. We destroyed Portharlington because we were preparing for but we were playing the 2005 league in Laois before we'd played in the All-Ireland Final for the previous year. It's just bizarre the way stuff like that. It worked out like it was a challenge. We used it as a challenge game. So TJ Reid looks like he's going to be lining up against Owen Larkin. Owen Larkin, Cheddar Plunkett, who's our hurling pundit here, Ger, he's over James Stevens, and he is a tactical manager, a very tactical manager. So he's Owen Larkin, who obviously as a former player of the year as a forward, he's him playing centre back a bit maybe like Dermot Connolly, but he's not marking anyone. I think someone drops back and a bit like Armagh when they won the All-Ireland, McGeaney given that free role. So Owen Larkin's flying it in that role. So like, I mean, interesting. I don't know who to go for here, lads. I'd say obviously Ballyhale Shamrocks at 1-3 in a final.
I'd be leaning for them.
Ger?
I go with Ballyhale.
All right, okay. So that's 3 for Ballyhale. Cork final, Dulhallow versus Nemo Rangers. So this is a weird one. Nemo Rangers are in the Munster club. Dulhallow are an area team. So they've Aidan Walsh and they've Donica O'Connor, and it's a whole load of junior teams. We're talking about this on Monday with Johnny Doyle. It's a strange setup. It's similar to Kerry. Every junior player in the whole county has a chance to play in the senior championship with these area teams. But there's the danger that when they organise themselves, it's hard to organise them because they all have their own individual championships to run, intermediate and junior. But the area teams, especially in the hurling, Imokilly, they're dominating now. They've won 3 in a row and it's almost like this isn't fair. Whereas other area teams never get it together. They don't train together. Mm. You know what I mean? So Dulhallow were beaten last year in the final by St Finbar's. So they play Nemo this time. Dulhallow are 13. Actually, interesting, Dr. Crokes are in the semi-final in Kerry and they're already in the Munster club because the other three teams are East Divisional teams. It is a weird one. But Dulhallow are 13-8 outsiders, Nemo Rangers 8-13. Without going too deep into this one, I'm going to go with Nemo at 8-13.
I'd go with Nemo because of the tradition. And that's be cutting across, Connor.
That's all right, Gerald.
In Kerry, they started a senior club championship a couple of years ago. So the senior club championship runs alongside.
They do that as well.
The senior championship. Yeah. And that the winners of the senior club championship goes on to represent Kerry in the Munster championship if
it's different to the other one.
Yeah,
different exactly, champions to the other one. They do. Jeez, how did they manage their club championship? From a logistical point of view,
it's crazy. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? You're running a championship like every other county does, and you also have another championship running side by side with divisional teams and all. It's crazy stuff, isn't it?
But they're so strong as well, aren't they? Because there's so few senior teams in Kerry. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So then because there's not as many senior teams, the junior teams are stronger, and then the players that they're putting towards the divisional teams are stronger. So that's probably why there's so many.
And the divisional teams then as well, they could be really strong 1 year, and then say David Clifford's club win their championship and now they're gone. You know what I mean? You don't know who you have on a given year. You could have 4 lads from a really good intermediate club and then they go up senior and then you don't have them. So it's definitely a weird one. Are you going with Nemo or Dulhallow?
No, I'm going to go with Dulhallow. Just going so close last year, just looking at their team as well. Aidan Welsh, Donal O'Connor, Paul Welsh, Owen McSweeney, I think Cork seniors, a couple of lads in the under 20s, so give them a shout.
Yeah, okay, you called it Welsh there. I think they go Welsh down in Cork.
Oh, it's Welsh and Mayo. Yeah, Mayo. Must be Welsh in Cork. Yeah.
All right, so the Meath final, Ratoath versus Summerhill. I didn't think there'd be too much special about this until I started looking at Ratoath. They're favourites at 4-6. They were junior 7 years ago, right? So they have Conor McGill, they have Brian McMahon, they have the two Wallaces who we know are speed demons. So they went up from junior up to senior and now are favourites to beat Summerhill, who've been beaten in a few finals. I think they were beaten in 17 and last year as well. But, you know, they've been up at the top table, whereas Ratoath haven't, and they're favourites. So it was an interesting stat in the Examiner. Ratoath was a village of 1,000 when Conor McGill was born in the 90s. Now there's over 10,000 living in it, and this is all the Dubs moving out into the commuter towns. And we often hear about a lot of the Culshies going to Dublin and making Dublin stronger. Well, Kildare and Meath are benefiting from the other way around. Now, it does result in people going around Meath and Kildare and Dublin, young children, and playing for Kildare and Meath. But at the same time, this Ratoath have definitely benefited from it. Their population has skyrocketed and a lot of players, I'm sure, with kind of half Dublin accents on that team.
Yeah, and you mentioned Davy Byrne from...
Davy Byrne is manager,
Kickham's former
goalkeeper. No, not the goalkeepers. Is he Ballymun Kickham's again? I always think of the other Davy Byrne.
And Davy Byrne as well. But Davy Byrne, manager of Ratoath, was involved with Dublin for a couple of seasons. A lovely man. great way about him. Very, very positive in how he approaches things, and he'll get the best out of his players. And the fact that Summerhill have lost a few championship finals over the last couple of years, mentally, you wonder when they're up against it now on the weekend, do those little doubts start creeping again? Ratote, nothing to lose. I'm sure Davey will be using that as the motivation. Junior 7 years ago. Let's just go out and express ourselves and see what happens.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. It's interesting that they're going in as favourites. I'll go for Ratote in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Ratote as well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, rags to riches. Donegal final. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because, like I said, on Monday I watched this and this was horrific. Guidoir have got injury worries. Kieran Gillespie, he went off at half time and he did his cruciate last year. He was their, I think, centre half back. And he's gone as well. He's going to miss the rest of the season. Terrible bad luck for him, like, because he missed the Ulster club last year. And Christopher McFadden, who replaced Gillespie, he's out as well. Still think Guidoir will have too much for Niamh Connell, who were very limited, I thought, the last day. I think when Guidoir get or kick into gear a little bit, they'll be too strong for them. They're 1-2 favourites. I think the betting is exactly like it was last week. 1-2, Guidoir and Niamh Connell are 21-10. Gerard, who do you fancy here?
Yeah, I go with Guidoir again. Seen a good bit of them, seen them last week. Enjoyed certainly the effort they put into their performance. It is quite defensive in some ways, but Jim McGuinness is the Donegal team. But
they leave McFadden and they leave who's in beside him? They leave one other in beside him. They're 15, the free taker, and then most of the others will be defending.
Will be defending, and so if they win by 1-2 points, they're happy enough. They might only score 12 points in the game, but if they can keep the opposition to 5 or 6, they'd be happy. But you'd probably have to go with them again.
Yeah,
you said it earlier, Ger. The rule is that the favourite for the first game normally prevails in the replay. So I'll go Guidoir as well.
Okay, so the Limerick final: Newcastle West versus Oula. I don't know anything about Oula until I had a look about it. This is the first ever meeting in a final. Newcastle West are 1-2 favourites. Oula are 21-10. This final was supposed to be played on October 13th. It was put back 2 weeks because Oula have Richie English, Darragh Donovan, Pat Ryan and Mickey O'Brien off the Limerick Intercounty Hurlers, who've all won All-Irelands the year before. At least three of them I definitely know have. They went on their holiday to Barbados. So, and maybe that's why Newcastle West are 1-2 favourites. That like one third of the Oula team are just coming back from a team holiday in Barbados. So I'm going for Newcastle West here at 1-2, lads.
I think they might come back so nice and refreshed from Barbados that they'll be mad for Rhodes. So I'll go for Oula.
Well, I'd say what could happen there is the fellas who hung around and continue to train will be absolutely wound up that the lads went away. Despite them playing for the
You think they'd be pissed off. Yeah. Now, Ballyhale Shamrocks players last year, before their Leinster Club final, there was, you remember that Wild Geese trophy in Australia? Ballyhale players went on that before Leinster Club final. I couldn't believe it. I was like, that's a surprise. And then Henry Shefflin is saying that, you know, they came or they went away, they looked after themselves, they played a gate or they trained over there or whatever. It was... You know what I mean? It wasn't like they looked after themselves, came back and they won the Leinster Club final. You know, so I don't like...
That's ruins my argument.
But it would be a fair thing to turn down the team holiday if their hurlers predominantly to play, you know, for a football game. I don't know. Based on my track record, I'd be gone on the holiday anyway. All right, are you going for Oula
Newcastle West.
Okay, Clare final, lads. We may speed up here. Kilmurry Ilbricken versus Milltown. Betting pretty much the same. Kilmurry Ilbricken are 6-5 slight outsiders. Milltown Malbay are defending champions. So there's nothing between this. The whole story with this, there's cousins and there are friends and their local rivalry. This is just two very close neighbours and there's all that crossover. So to be honest with you, it's a complete toss-up. I went for Milltown last week I'm going to stick with them. Ger, who do you think will win this one?
I'll join you at Milltown.
Okay, what do you
I
think?
I went for Kilmurry last week, stick with them. If they don't score another own point, you see that one that their cornerback scored an own point last week.
Really?
Yeah, kicked it over the bar accidentally from about 20 yards.
With a strong wind against him?
He sliced it? Yeah, something like My that. God. I was trying to kick pass it to a fella across the way and went over his own point.
I have scored a point that I was a county final. I was over on the 45 metre line on the sideline and it's way out of my zone for a point. And I went to give a diagonal ball to the edge of the square to Barry Fitzgerald, who's full forward. And the way I caught it, it was like Maurice Fitzgerald's sideline ball against Dublin. It just caught clean and I saw it and start bending over the bar. Did not mean it at all. And I didn't
take it though.
Oh, well, I celebrated it. No, but every other lad on the field just looked at me and went, come on. You did not mean that. Last one, lads, is the Wexford hurling final. This is St. Anne's versus St. Martin's. St. Anne's are 9-4 outsiders. St. Martin's are 4-9. Get this, St. Anne's lost to St. Martin's in the championship already by 34 points. So St. Anne's have Dermot O'Keefe, Liam Og McGovern. They weren't playing that day. They're the two, obviously, brilliant players that play for Wexford. So that was a big one. Rory O'Connor, who is St. Martin's, obviously their best forward. We all know about him. It looks like he's suspended for the game. You'd have to fancy St. Martin's, though, at the same time.
Yeah, you would. They're also missing Rory's cousin, Barry O'Connor, is over with the AFL.
He's gone, yeah.
Sydney Swans, he'd be big loss. But, you've got to go with St. Martin's. They're a strong club, doing well in the Camogie, too. They won the championship for maybe third time in a row recently with the Camogie. And I'll go with St. Martin's.
Yeah, three for St. Martin's. Yeah,
there you are, St. Martin's. That's it, lads. Well done, marathon club preview. There it was, especially when you have All Ireland winning club player and captain, and you have to try and ask him a few bits and pieces out of that. Right, that's all we've time for. We'll be back on Monday and we'll review all the weekend's action. We'll talk to you then. Good luck.
The GA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power, home of the GA Hour Hurling ACCA.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken. I let it go, 'cause I wanna see you later. Talking out.